Brilliant. When you finish your prayers, why don't we just stand together, invite the Holy Spirit to come and touch us tonight, fill us. We've been praying for each other already, but Lord, we just thank you tonight for your wonderful love for us. Father, we ask you that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit tonight. We ask you to speak to us, to touch us, to fill us, Lord, right where we are right now. Just open your hands to the Lord. Heavenly Father, Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. We ask right now, Lord, that you come and bless us and help us, strengthen us. We pray for every person here, for every person who would love to be here and can't be. We pray that you protect them, that you deliver them from the enemy, that you bring health and life. Every member of this church, in the name of Jesus, we pray for every marriage, that you protect it, Jesus, for every family, for every child, that you cover them with the blood of Jesus now. Thank you, Lord. Please bless us tonight. Give us good fun. Open our hearts to receive new things from you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Nice to see you. Thank you so much for making a big effort to come out, especially those of you who've just finished A61 and think you get a month off and then someone sticks another meeting on a Tuesday night. And those of you just are just finishing Route 61. Route 61 and A61 and all the 61s. Brilliant. It's great to see you. M61 is not really a course. You probably guessed that already. It's us. It's a gathering of the core and the members of the church for communication, inspiration, bit of teaching. And it's about these three things. The M stands for these three things. Used to say just ministry and mission, but I've recently stuck a membership in there as well because I thought three M's was better than two. No. And it's also important. I want to speak to you tonight, actually, about membership. And I'll speak to you another night about ministry. I'm sure you know that the word ministry means to serve. So you're finding your ministry is finding your serving place in this church, definitely, and beyond that as well. And mission is... sorry, could you just jump back one, Sam? I know you want to get on quick, but I'm only kidding. Mission also comes out of that. They're totally connected to each other. If you're in Amazing Grace, you know, you're connected to the mission and the ministry of Amazing Grace already. If you come at this church, if you've decided to join this church, to be a member of this church, and you wouldn't be in this room if you hadn't, then you're going to be connected to all of these things. M61 is about developing all of these things. So obviously it can't happen in a classroom. It can't happen here tonight. This is just a little touch, connection point, touch pad, launch pad, whatever, into ministry and mission. And understanding membership and family a bit more, which is what I want to talk about first. So I'm going to talk for about half an hour, you know, maybe half an hour and a half, only kidding, for a little while first, and then we're going to do some, we'll try and bring you up to speed on everything, some of the changes that are happening and everything that's going on, and you can ask any questions you want. Membership. Why is it important? Why do we believe in it? And so on. This is what Ephesians 2 says. Ephesians 2:19. Paul says, now you are no longer strangers to God and foreigners to heaven, but you are members of God's own family and you belong in God's household with every other Christian. You belong. You belong as soon as you become a Christian. You belong generally to the body of Christ. And actually, it's up to you how much you belong to an individual congregation. And every congregation and church has a different sort of way of doing that anyway. Some have no way of doing that and you just drift in and out. Others have very sort of high commitment level of signing things and covenants. We're somewhere in the middle. But I just want to explain to you tonight why it's important to us and what it means. Belonging is a massive need in every one of us, in human beings. God put it there. And when you look at the UK and the West, you know, belonging is a thing that people absolutely ache for. When Mother Teresa visited London, she said, oh, there's much more poverty here than there is in India. And the poverty she spoke about was loneliness. She said, no one is connected to anybody. Everyone is lonely. You might say, well, that's just London. But actually, it's pretty epidemic of the whole of our culture now. Total breakdown of family life through massively high divorce rate and people prolonging getting married or never getting married and the breakup of homes and all the rest. People are very disconnected. People don't knock around with grandmas and grandpas and cousins and aunties and uncles anymore. The need to belong in human heart is huge, and there's a desperate need of it in our culture right now. For us to make people welcome and let people know what it means to belong to the household of God is actually really important. Everyone wants to belong. That's why people love joining club after club after club. And it's easy to belong, actually. You belong around something. You know, if you've never had a dog, it's easy to belong to the dog walking club of life, isn't it? You just get one. Get a dog, walk out the house, you're in. You are in with every other dog walker you ever meet. Just because of that little animal on the end of your string. It's a world of its own. There's connections. Oh, I see them talking for hours and hours on our road. Every day I think, man, you know. And actually, it's really important to them. Because there's some connection there. If you sell alcohol, you sell beer on an advert. You never sell beer because of the taste. It doesn't actually taste that nice, does it? Unless you get addicted to it, then it tastes gorgeous. But they don't sell beer like that. They sell beer by selling community. It's people drink together. They have a laugh together down the pub. It's with the mates. It's with the friends. It's with the... What they're selling is belonging. People long to belong. When I had a motorbike, I was part of the motorbike gang when I was a kid. You went past other motorbikes in the road and they'd flash you. You didn't know them. Or they'd nod you, give you a little cool biker's nod. You're like, never met them before in your life, never see them again in life. But there's a little connection point. You're on two wheels. Everyone else is on four. That'll do for some people. I mean, you pull up somewhere where there's other bikers, you're talking about your bikes and your leather jackets. It's a little world. When I first started working for the Oakwood Centre years ago, one of my jobs was to drive the Teen Challenge bus to Hartlepool. And we used to park it there during the day and open it up and talk to people, do some evangelism. And it was like a double-decker bus, you know. And you only needed a few hours. It's scary, really. You only need a couple of hours driving it, and you're allowed to drive it, as long as there's no people in. If they're empty, you know, these like buses where they have boards and things and coffee bars in, you can just drive them, which is really scary, because I'm sure I couldn't really do it very well. But I was driving along the road on the way to Hartlepool, and as I came over the brow of this hill, I saw this... I was just wondering, you know, you see truckers flash to each other. They all flash to each other, don't they? Later, they're like, truckers flash. And I was driving this bus along. It's a pretty big steering wheel, a bus. Double-decker bus, you're pretty big. I thought, I wonder if I qualify as a trucker in my little bus. Did buses flash to truckers? I was trying to think, did they? And I thought, I'm going to try it. There's no one else on this dual carriageway, just me and this other trucker coming towards me. I thought, I'm going to try it. I said, but if I get it wrong, it's going to be a bit embarrassing. I'll flash him and think, what are you trying to say? You're on your bus. I'm like an Arctic. Who are you? But I thought, I'll leave it to the last minute so he won't have a chance to look at me and I won't feel too embarrassed. So I was holding the little stick and getting closer and closer. I thought, he came right up. I thought, this is my chance. I flash him now or never. I'm going to go for it. And I pulled my little stick and washed the windows. Pulled the wrong stick. But anyway, that did have a semi-point. But the semi-point was just this, that the people love to belong and need to belong. And whatever connects you, that is what connects you. And obviously what connects us is Jesus. Broadly is Jesus. Why membership? Well, first of all, It is biblical. It's a biblical word. C.S. Lewis wrote a paper years ago about membership, reminding people that it's got a Christian origin. It's easy to think that memberships to do with like signing roles, having your name somewhere, paying your dues, which is what clubs are about. But actually, Christian membership isn't about that. When Paul speaks about membership, he speaks about belonging to the body of Christ. It's a organism. It's the living Jesus that you're connected to. It's an organic connection, a spiritual connection. There is a belonging, and there is a place for you, a place that's significant. You know, any organ that's detached from the body soon shrivels and dies. It's that kind of belonging. It's a life belonging. It's a survival belonging. It's a growth belonging, a growth membership, a connection to God and to his body. That's the church. It has to be real somewhere, or it isn't. Going along to a service isn't it. It's far beyond that. If that was all there is for you, then as a Christian, you'll probably shrivel and die. We had a little nephew of ours once who got his finger in a door, and it was off. This door slammed on his finger and it was off. But because they sort of acted quickly and wrapped the finger up right and got to hospital, they connected it back on and it kept the thing. It lived. It's amazing, really, isn't it? To have part of you disconnected and live is amazing. You can't live for long. It can't live for long. Connection and life are massively important. And the devil works overtime to keep us disconnected. And there's lots of reasons why you would be disconnected and on the fringe of any church. There's always hurt and trouble and hardship living together. There is. What the devil doesn't tell you is there's more living apart. If you don't find your place, your place for the moment, you won't be able to function properly and do the will of God in your life properly. You're not part of the body. That's what Paul was teaching when he was saying, you know, the eye can't say to the ear, I don't need you, and the foot can't say to the hand, I don't need you. I'll do my own thing. Actually, every member is needed. Every person is needed to do the will of God in every congregation all over the world. That's true. Do you think God knows you live here? Do you think God knows you in this vicinity? Do you think God drew you here? I think he did. You know, it's biblical. It's also practical. You know, when God created a spiritual family on earth, he did it so that his kids could have somewhere to live. It says in Ephesians 2, you are members of God's very own family. Members of a body, members of a family. It's God's family. We do actually have the same dad. We actually do. People sometimes say of other Christians, well, they don't have our DNA. Actually, they might not have your values or your traditions, but I'll tell you one thing they definitely do have, your DNA. They have your DNA because you have the same spiritual dad. The spiritual seed that caused you to be born again is exactly the same as every other believer on the planet. You definitely have the same DNA as every other believer. You might not have the same style or the same call or mission. That's true. That's why it's important where you end up, where you belong, and when and for how long. Just because you're part of a local church doesn't mean you're meant to stay there forever, including here. It doesn't. It means God has an assignment for you here if he's called you here, which he obviously has. That's why you're in this room tonight. He's called you here for right now, which is prophetic. And a now moment in your life, it's not for nothing. It's not just to bless you, it is to bless you. It's not just to heal you, it is to heal you. But it's not actually about you. Christianity isn't about you. The quicker you get over that, the better. Christianity is about God's massive plan to save the world. He wants you, but he's got a job for you. He'll heal you on the way, but it will be on the way. There's stuff for you to do. There's areas for you to work, serve, pray, give, love, preach, minister in Jesus' name. That's what being a part of a team and a body is all about. It's totally practical. It matters. A Christian without a family is an orphan. We often talk about orphan spirit, and we usually relate it to not knowing God as your dad, which is true. But actually, you're an orphan if you're not part of a local church as well. You're knocking around outside of a family. You're not connected in. You're a Christian, but you're just not functioning right. It's also personal. 1 Peter 2:5, Peter says that Jesus is the living stone of God. God's building something, starting with Jesus and the apostles. Jesus, then Peter, James, John. I mean, it's individual people. These are individual foundation stones, 12 of them. Thaddeus, Thomas, Matthew. Those are the ones that we always forget. Judas and Judas 2. Oh, not Judas 2, was it? No, anyway. And Matthias. And this is what the New Testament teaches. Exactly this. That on that foundation, he's still building. He's still calling stones. Angela, Peter, Paul. And he's placing you on this structure that God's building. It's a spiritual house. But these are living stones, the Apostle Peter says. He says, there's Jesus, the foundation stones. Be yourself built, he says, like living stones onto this foundation. It's amazing, really. God's stones go somewhere, so do you. Stones are connected to other stones. There's stones above them, the stones beneath them, the stones either side of them. They're related to those stones. We are stones. It's important that you're here. It's important where you connect here. It's important who your friends are, who your friends become. A lot of you have just joined our church. Welcome. Awesome. You are totally in. Those of you who are finishing Route 61 are as in as those of us who are here from day one. You're not a member because you've been here for a few years. You're a member if God, by his Holy Spirit, has called you and joined you to be part of this. That's membership. It's a heart movement. It's not a number of weeks or years. It's something God does in your heart. It's personal. At some time or other, you choose to belong to Amazing Grace. There's lots of other churches you could belong to. And you'd be very welcome to, but somewhere God has called you to here, and that's every church has a certain flavor, a certain mission, a certain job. It's a prophetic thing to discern that God's calling you, and to know you've made that journey. It means you're totally available to God. You're totally available to something new. It's like a restaurant. I often use this illustration with the leaders, but I think it is. I think churches are like restaurants. I think they have a certain group of chefs and a certain menu, and they can only do certain things really well. They can't do everything well. They can do some things well, depending on who's leading them. That's the truth. And I think churches fail when they're trying to try and be everything to everyone and spread the butter so thin that no one can taste it. For us here, focus is important. Being good at what we're called to do and getting better and better and better at it. Balance is important too, but focus is a big value for us. We don't get involved in everything and anything. We try and hear the Holy Spirit and do that with all of our heart. That's what's on the menu. We have a certain number of dishes that we do over and over again. Can we spice them up a bit? Sure. Can we do them a new way? Yeah. But will it be that general dish? Yeah. By this stage, you know our dish. You know what I preach. You can buy the series if you want, but a lot of it's the same, actually. I have about 5 things that go off on me all the time. Revival, the Holy Spirit, faith, supernatural, prayer. Those things will just come out of me over and over again because they're who I am. That's who I am. That's not going to change. The leaders flow out of the same thing, really. That's our general menu. That's what's on offer to people. We want to bless people at all different levels out of that menu. That's the truth. And the truth is, every church has a different menu. That's how God designed the church. Those menus only really change when the leaders change. That's why it's such a big change when the leaders change. Denominations that think they can move the leaders around make a terrible mistake. How big, most big churches have leaders that stay there and grow them big. How big do you think, how secure and happy would a family be if the parents changed every few years? Not very secure or happy at all. So, do you know what? You've chosen. It's personal. You've chosen membership. And we want to celebrate it with you. We believe in it. You know, those of you just finishing Route 61, God bless you. Route 61 is our required membership course. It is. Can you come to Amazing Grace anywhere? Of course you can. You're welcome. Absolutely. You're part of what we call the crowd. That doesn't mean you're nobody. That means you're somebody. You're part of our crowd. You're part of our gang. You come on a Sunday and we think it's our responsibility to bring out of that kitchen, well, not the kitchen, that kitchen, as clean and as hot and as fresh as we can, the word of God and the life of God to feed you. Jesus ministered to the crowds, and so are we. And we think in revival days, those crowds are going to be very big crowds. And we're called to minister to them. We're called to preach the gospel to them, to heal them, to drive demons out of them, to teach them as much as we can. But you are not that crowd. You are members of the team. The difference is that when Jesus finished preaching to a crowd and walked off, and he turned back and there's a little gang of people following him, I'm finished. Yeah, but we're not. What do you want? The answer is more. Can you give us more? Several times in the Gospels, Jesus grabs that group and teaches them at a deeper level. They are his church. They are his members. They want more of what he's got, and they want that relation. Can we have that relationship with God? Yeah. Can we love like that? Yeah, I'll show you how. Can we pray like that? Yeah. Can we heal like that? Can we minister like that? Yeah, I'll train you. You be with me then. You be with me then. You be together. You're joined to Jesus. You know, that's something that happens. You go beyond crowd to member, and it's something God does with you. You've moved on. You're not just a consumer coming to receive. You're connecting in to what is happening. You're seeing something bigger. Now I want to be part of something that's going on in the Holy Spirit here. I want to be ready for what's going to happen. And it's a heart thing. You know, I mean, Franco's an example. Someone said to me, hey, Franco's playing the drums quick, isn't he? I thought you had to do Route 61 to minister in this church. And I think I said something like, actually, you need to be a member to minister in this church. But Franco's already a member. I'd watched Franco and Jill visit this church, seriously hear God, wait up, speak to their pastor of the church where they were, take the massive risk of moving your kids into a new kids' work, encouraging them along into that till they got faith for it. When you've took steps like that, you remember whether you've finished Route 61 or not. It's a heart movement, or God's spoken to us. We're in. You could do Route 61 three times and not be a member, in truth. It's a heart movement that actually matters. God has called you together with this gang. You might not totally choose the gang. You mightn't even like them. It's all right. The apostles didn't like each other all the time. But they were totally joined by God for that season. And you know, that's important too. So then, and also membership gives you, what does it do? Oh, it's the other screen, I think, bro. It's a place to belong. As I said, it's massively important that you belong. I totally believe that all of you in this room belong to what God is doing. You know, I've said this to you from absolute day one, and some of you here who've been here from day one, you know that as we were starting the church, the team praying, making massive, costly decisions to do this and be here. I had a dream, very vivid dream, that I was in a cave, and I could see out of the mouth of the cave, there was green fields. It was dark, very dark in the cave, but I could see outside the cave, green fields and people coming over the fields. And I knew it was out of the life of David. It was the cave of Adullam. And people were coming and they were depressed and defeated and discouraged and broken. And that was the dream. So that was it. I woke up. It was very vivid. I knew that it was this church. I knew that's what God was going to do. And we've watched him begin to do that. Bringing people, families, individuals, depressed, discouraged, wanting more, broken. And actually, you know what God did with the people in that cave is he turned them into the best fighting unit in Israel. And actually, when David inherited the throne, guess who ran the country? They did. That gang of broken people, God did something with them. As they gathered around David, as they joined his relationship with God, actually, they were connected to his relationship with God and worshipped like him and believed what he liked. Didn't mean they always got on. They were angry with him at occasions. They disagreed with him on occasions. David made mistakes occasions. They wanted to stone him on one occasion. But they were joined to him in their heart. God had done something with them, where they were an army. And you know what? That's who you are to me, to us. It is who you are. Prophetically, absolutely believe when you've heard God about coming here, I absolutely believe you too and agree with you. And if you come think, but I'm in a mess, I think, great. Then you absolutely fit the bill. Join the gang, because God takes messes and does amazing things with them. It doesn't happen overnight, but we're not here for overnight, are we? Well, I'm here for a while anyway. I don't know about you. I'm here till God moves me. And so should you be. And when he moves you, we'll give you a bunch of flowers and kiss you and say goodbye. You're free to move. We don't own you. Any membership never means that to us. You know, there's a respect thing in talking to your leaders and your pastors and so on if you're going to move. Normally, you should be just asking for some prayer and advice. But you hear God yourself. You do what God's calling you to do yourself. You don't ask their permission to release you. You know, you're not in prison. You're feeding here. You're growing here. You're living spiritually here, but you're not held here in any shape or form, only by your own faith and God's call on your life. But that is a hold. That should be important to you. That's a hold for me. I don't do what I like. I do what I'm told. And that's the way to have a successful Christian life. At the end of your life, to be able to say what Jesus said, you know, which I'm sure I won't be able to say, but Jesus said it, is, Father, I finished the work you gave me to do. You know, just what you gave me to do. Yeah, I did it. I did that. Didn't do my own thing. Didn't do any extras. And I didn't fail to do it. I just did it. And that's a goal for all of us. This is a place where you're called to belong. Specifically. You should know that. You need to know that's how we see you. Significant. There's only a few of you. There's only a baby church. You're very significant. You are the core. You are the members of the church. And that really, really matters. Have you ever been to a wedding and not had your name on a table? It's a terrible thing. You know, you see some people who turn up with a wedding. It's totally embarrassing. Got your suit on. You're all sorted out. And you can't find your place. Oh, no. And is it any good if someone comes up to you and says, sorry, we forgot, sit here? No, it's no good. The damage is done. My place wasn't there. Jesus said, I'm going to sort my wedding out. I'm going to prepare a place for you. The Apostle Paul said, you know, you've been placed in Christ. There's a place for you here in Amazing Grace right now, prophetically. There is. This is your place. It's where God's brought you. It's very important that you, and it's not a place to sit. I was just looking up this afternoon, found it fascinating. There's a few Greek words for place. One means to take your place, to listen, like an audience. Like, take your seats, please. I've served you a seat. That word is used, for instance, in Acts of the Apostles, where where Paul's on trial, and Agrippa and Bernice come, and they take their place. Thank you. Ready to hear Paul? It's not that word that we're speaking about. There's another word which means your opportunity. Whoa. Yeah, it's that word. You have a place. It's not a seat on a Sunday. No, it's a place on the team. It's like a football team saying, you know what? They're giving you a place. They're not. They are. They're giving you a place. You're going to be the midfield player. Yes! You've got a place. A place in the show, a place on the stage, a place on the team. And if you look at the Greek word, it sends you straight to opportunity. See also opportunity. Oh, this is your opportunity. That's the Greek word Jesus used when he was threatening the church in Revelation. If you don't repent and get back to your first love, I'll remove your lampstand from its place. You'll lose your opportunity. This is an opportunity. Don't lose it. This is your place. This is your time. This is your role. You take it now and do it. Membership's important. This is your place to belong. Believe it, even when the devil tells you otherwise. Even when it's hard work. Even when you have to get over some things and forgive some things and things don't go the way you'd love. Well, welcome to life. But just keep going until God moves you on. It's also a place of rest and relaxation. This should be a place of fun. If this church isn't fun, we've utterly failed already. Church should be fun because it should be family. And if it isn't fun, if I ever get stressed coming to a meeting, I tell myself off, or Margaret does. I've got to get this right, I've got to get this right, especially nights like this. She says, why? Actually, you're right. This is family. This is totally family. This is not a presentation to strangers. This is family. This should be fun. This should be a good laugh. We should be enjoying this. And we should be able to make friends. We should become really, really good friends. As many of us as can. You know what? And it's there's different ways of making friends. And whatever reason you come to a church, sometimes it is prophetic. Sometimes it's the ministry. You come to the church for the ministry. One of the biggest churches in America they did a survey with them and said, what's the reason you joined this church? 93% said, because of the pastor. Because they saw God on him and ministry and God with him, and they wanted a bit of that. It's all right to start there. They asked the same people, so would you leave if the pastor died or moved? They said, oh no. Same people. They said, why is that? They said, because all our friends are here. That's healthy. They've moved from the pastor to the members in their affiliation. That's healthy. And you know, whatever God brings you actually somewhere new, when you move church, it's a big deal. Well done. You've got to be brave to do it. There's those who teach against it. Well done. But it's a big deal. And it means uprooting. It means making new friends again, which the older you get is harder and harder. It takes massive emotional and social energy to do it. But I still want to encourage you to do it. To make friends, to have people around for meals, to love each other. You know what? And sometimes we're not awesome at that. Band of brothers and sisters will help a bit. I think having meals together will help. Really want that back room so we can eat together on a Sunday at least once a month if you want to stay and eat together. And we're going to do it once anyway in December. But lots of things can help. Going on holiday together, having days out together, doing mission together, which we've been doing, is massively important. You know, in all these surveys, they say people in congregations, no matter how big the church is, know about 67 of the other members. That's how many they know. That doesn't matter if the church is 200 or 2,000. That's because you can only know so many people. Doesn't matter if the church gets to 10,000, 20,000. You'll know about 67, 70 people. Because that's how many people you can know. We can do a pretty good job then, can we? There's not masses of us yet. we can know each other fairly well. And then most people have about 20 friends and family who they could count as sort of, you know, real friends and family. And then obviously in that 20, as you go closer to your life, the intensity of the friendships, the intimacy, brotherhood, friendship goes up till there's not many. Jesus had 3 really close friends. That's quite a lot. 3. Then he had 12 who he knocked around with. We know that he had 70. He trusted 70 enough to send them out preaching. That was the gang that he really knew. And when he left this earth, he had 120 in his congregation. The people who were with him, there was 120. Jesus wasn't worried about big numbers. He was concerned about quality. He knew the big numbers will come if those 120 love each other and understand him and are filled with the Holy Spirit. God can send big waves of growth to any church, but the foundation and the core needs to be right. And friendship and loving each other is a massive deal for us. We're all busy. We're all attacked as well. It's not a club. But clubs don't have the devil attacking them. We do. And probably different churches have the devil attacking them to different degrees. If I was the devil, I'd want to attack this one. I would. And I think he does, you know. I think loving each other, forgiving each other is a big deal. Place to belong. And what was the last thing? Oh, yeah, a place to grow. Ephesians 5:21 says something spiritual that I can't remember. But anyway, it's about growth. And, again, this is to do with ministry and mission. You know, you function best when you're part of a team because your gifts complement other gifts. It's just obvious, isn't it? You know, if it's a football team and we're all goalkeepers, we're not going to get very far. You've got to have different gifts working together, different acts of service, doing things that actually make the church work and grow and bring people to Jesus. You know, Tom Gibbons was at the baths with me tonight. I was watching Benji swim, and he was watching Georgia. And he said to me, "Is anyone doing tea and coffee tonight for M61? I said, "Yeah." I said, "I'm well organized. I texted Sandy and Liz last night and asked them if they'd do it." He said, "Oh, Sandy and Liz." He said, "The tea and coffee would probably fall apart in this church if it wasn't for Sandy and Liz." So there's a little commendation for Sandy and Liz. And please forgive us to all other people who drink coffee. But anyway, but you know, I mean, it does matter, doesn't it? Even stuff like that. But tea's important to the British, isn't it? It's like massively important. What foot washing was to the Jew, a cup of tea is for us. If you go to someone's house and don't give you a cup of tea, I'm not going back there, are you? No chance. It's like an insult. You know, you can take a football outside and kick it around and become quite good. You can call yourself a footballer, but a lot of people would say you're just kicking a ball around. If you want to be good, you've got to join a team. You need coaching, and you need others to balance your gift. You have spiritual gifts that God's given you and natural talents. We want you to become very good at them. To do that, you need each other. You need to be part of a team, and you need to be coached. You need to be taught. You need to be led into different situations where you're going to use those gifts for real. And you know, this part of the church is literally under construction. It's just beginning. The mission side hasn't exploded yet, but it will. It will, in the right time. There's massive advantages to belonging and to membership. Belonging means you get trust from us. We'll tell you everything. If you're in this room, we've said from day one, we're going to be a leadership that's transparent. That doesn't mean we tell you other people's business. You need to mind your own business, including ours. You know, we've said that from day one. But everything that relates to the church and togetherness, we'll tell you. We'll tell you when we're making mistakes and struggling and going back 2 steps and forward 5. We'll tell you what's happening. And that's what the next part of the night's going to be. So do you want to stretch your legs, or do you want to keep going? Do you want to stretch your legs for 5 minutes? Grab a cup of tea. And then come back, and we'll tell you a load of stuff. And you can ask us questions. So you can go. Hey, do you want me to do Alpha first? Okay, we're going to keep going. So do you want to grab your seats? We're going to run through. So we're going to run through some important information and some church changes and things. You can ask questions at the end, okay? So if you want to, you might want to make a note, because there's a few things to tell you. So you're welcome to ask questions, and we'll try and tell you as much info as we can. So the first one, you probably know, and different people are going to do different ones, but I'll do this first one, which is Alpha. You probably know that we felt in the Holy Spirit there's a wind change regarding Sunday nights and regarding some of the sort of angle of our evangelism right now here. And that change fits a sort of change to do Alpha for the moment on a Sunday night. You probably know there's been less people coming on a Sunday night. I mean, there's a lot less people this Sunday night, because once you mention you're going to change, people do that. But even before then, there was a little drop of numbers, but there was a drop in the amount of guests responding publicly. That was part of that. Then in the prayer and fasting time, we had some prophetic words, which we thought were really significant, about there's a wind change coming, and you need to catch the wind, and it's going to result in growth and everything. Another factor was that we were not happy about so many people coming forward and responding genuinely to the gospel, and yet them not staying. We know that people don't just stay like that in that type of evangelism, but I think God wants to grow the church in some big clumps of growth now. God's taught us some awesome things. I think that model of how we do preaching the gospel, proclaiming the gospel, and healing the sick, is for now, it's for mission, it's for revival. But I think we can't do everything at once. And I think God knows exactly what he's doing with his doing Alpha. So we're going to be an Alpha on a Sunday night. That means it's a whole church thing. Obviously, we want all of you to be involved in that as much as you possibly can. I sent you an email about how you can be involved. Did you get that? Did anybody not get that? Is people not getting emails yet? Is anyone still? So we'll also have a little chat about the website. Our communication to you is vital. It's absolutely vital that you get in emails and that you you know how to use the website, which is usable to you now. You know, you're able to log in. You're able any minute now to find out what rotas you're on, when, and all that. It's massively significant and helpful. Communication between us is absolutely vital. Was telling you something on a Sunday isn't enough. We move too fast for that. We want you to know the whys as well, and not just the whats. So it's important. I want to be able to send emails to all of you, and you get them and read them, and you know, you can ask questions on the website and things, whatever. But so if that isn't working for you right now, will you talk to Stephen at the end of the night? And Stephen can try and point you in the right direction and give you the instructions you need. Okay. Anyway, so Alpha, you're all aware that's happening. We want you to invite as many people as you can, as many friends as you can, and everyone to be involved. Basically, there's a few areas of involvement. You can be in the band. Well, if you can sing and play and you're already part of the band, you can be the band. You can be in the prayer room. We want to have intercession all the way through the night, through the talk, through the small groups in particular. And you can bring people, which is vitally important. And sometimes those people want you to stay, so you stay in their group, and we'll train you how to not say anything while you're in that group. Or you may be leading a group. You know, that will depend on how many guests we get, and if you're the right type of person to lead a small group in Alpha. The right type of person to lead a small group in Alpha is usually someone who's very shy and feels like they can't do it. Does anyone feel like that? Then it could be you. But it's a very different style of small group leading to all the other small groups you have in church, different to A, different to Root, different to Band of Brothers and Sisters. It's a very hands-off, facilitating role. But sometimes it's good for evangelists to do that. Sometimes it isn't. Sometimes it's better just gathering people than going and praying. Most of the talks, the first half of the talks, for sure, will definitely be done by me and Stuart. And then maybe there'll be some tagging. But it's going to be an exact alpha, this first one. We're going to do a Holy Spirit weekend. We're going to try and book somewhere, take people away. Well, somewhere locally, so we can do a Friday night and a Saturday, and then do an Alpha Sunday here. That Sunday will be testimonies and Alpha stuff and all that. So we really want to go for it with all our heart. We'll be putting it in the newspaper and everything. So will you keep praying about that, please? And if you've got any questions about that at the end, that'd be great. Can we do the youth? Because I think Paul's got to go in a minute. Do the youth next. Thanks, honey.
So just while I'm waiting for that, on the Alpha thing, just plug it. You know, the Facebook thing. It's such like an underused thing, but just to share. It's so easy to do. Just press share, and then everyone gets the opportunity. I'm not saying preach it and all that, but just share it. You know, people then can get it and have the option to come, can't they? So guys, my Earth picture is completely naff compared to Martin's. I didn't know he was going to use that big Earth picture, so, you know, maybe it might be a bit prophetic, who knows. But so for Spain, Viva España. So we met Bob 2 weeks ago. We put some dates in a diary for next year, for where we're going. So 17th of July is the date we're looking at to be leaving here, which is a Friday. Schools are probably just finished. If not, we'll have to see if we can maybe get a day off or whatever. We need to look at that a bit closer, but that's the date we've kind of looked at. We then come back on the 28th. That allows people who want to go on holidays and families to have that full August to go away. And it's all done and dusted then. So that's the date we're looking at. So you can kind of pencil it in, because I think the age group is, the age group at the minute is 14 upwards, where we're looking at. There's some young people in the youth right now, the likes of Sam and Aaron, who were going to be very close to that age at the end. So I think, by all accounts, in our thinking and our hearts, that they'll be okay. But there's some youth that are going to just be 11 and 12, which I think it'll be a bit much for them. But a definite 14, I think, as we stand at the minute. So 14 to 18. So, yep. So that's our route. We're going all the way through England, across, all the way down. As you can tell, we're not flying. We're going to go by coach. Joe Huggins and Hannah Scott are car sick, so I'm told. So all these little things here are just 6 stops for you guys. So you can stop and be sick. Now, I put this here because somewhere around here, I think it is, Bob has some contacts in France, which he's trying to contact again so we can stop over in France before we go into Spain the next day. Which I thought was quite good. I think it's an old connection. And in terms of the revival in Europe and all that other stuff, I think it'd be good for us to have some kind of connections in France. So, just be praying for that opens up for us as well and for Bob. And so that's where we're going. And obviously that's where we're kind of looking to head towards. So we're going to go by Eurotunnel. I don't usually do slides this naff, but never mind. We're going to go by Eurotunnel, hopefully. And then... Oh, listen, let me just rewind. Why go by coach? So I think it's obvious, isn't it? You go by coach just because of the cost of a ticket. The summer holidays, the first week, those flights are going to go from like 100 quid to I don't know what. And so it's just to try and keep the cost really down. But I think when we met and we talked about it, absolutely, as we discussed it, it just made loads of sense. The camaraderie you can have going there. There's no stress in the airport. There's less stress for me kind of make sure everyone's safe. I mean, you can fit loads more stuff in the coach. Dave's drums, you know, whatever Dave is at the back. You know, whatever. I mean, I don't know what to say about that. But you can just do so much more with a coach. There's going to be that many of us when we're in Spain going from one church to another church. It just makes sense. So it's just going to be really helpful and beneficial for us. I'm really excited about going by coach, if I'm honest. I am. It's going to be a good coach, TVs on it and all that stuff, and loads of sit bags for you, Joe. But who believes that God can heal them of travel sickness? Because I do, so I'm not worried about that. That's the flag. We're going to take Spain. You know, as Ryan had said, Spain will be saved. And this is Carlette. This is pretty much where we're going to be staying, where we're going to be moving. Very well, then. I did the marrows myself, by the way. This is Carlette. This is where we stay. This is where we'll be around. Yeah. The reality is, that means something to me. I'll tell you, that thing there is a dry riverbed, this big brown line. We walked across that looking for stuff. So I looked at this map earlier on. All the orange groves are here, all the fields, you just walk through them, just pick oranges off. I mean, I tell this story all the time. It just blew my mind. But you pick an orange off a tree, right? And you rip the top off with your thumb, and there's just a puddle of juice inside the orange. It's just gorgeous. Sure, I love it. But so they're gonna have loads of fun there. This big road here, is called the cholesterol mile. So you go to these houses, they have these massive dishes of paella. You eat all you can, you put loads of weight on, and then what you do is you walk this walk here. Cholesterol mile, up and down, up and down. That's what me and Martin did. Yeah, done. Awesome. Cool.
All right, don't let Martin drive the bus. I was laughing there at the beginning because I went to Hartlepool with Martin. Was it the ambassador bus we went on one time? You were driving that bus. He said, I've just got to put the windscreen wipers on. And he pulled the wrong lever and opened the doors. Do you remember? Right? And then he panicked and went to switch them off and pulled the dead man brake on, right, which had me flying around in the front, really falling out the door and hanging onto that pole and running on the 689. Oh, terrible. No, and lorry drivers don't flash to bus drivers, by the way. Right, so I want to cover Route 61 Advanced, A61. Who signed up for A61? Some of you have. Okay, if you've just finished, the eligibility for A61 is to have completed Route 61. And it's for a year, so it's going to run January to December. So if you don't sign up for this one, your next opportunity to do it would be January 2016. So is that right? Yeah. So you might be thinking, well, I'm not sure if I'm ready for A61. But the criteria is that you've done Route 61. So if you've done Route 61, you're ready for it. And there's going to be plenty of opportunities to receive on A61 as well as sort of becoming more equipped to do things. And really, it's we cover the six areas that we cover on Route 61 through Isaiah 61. And it's an opportunity to have steps to go deeper with God as opposed to having hurdles in the way to jump over, obstacles to overcome. So there's opportunities to do things, but they're not mandatory. You don't have to do things. There'll be opportunity to do things. You'll be encouraged to do things if you want to. So you engage with A61 in much the same way as you do with Route 61. You take on board as much as you possibly can. We'll have myself and Marion and Darren and Sharon are going to be there throughout the whole course with you. There will be input from the rest of the senior team throughout the course at different stages. Probably another senior team couple would input a particular month. Martin will probably be speaking at least once on each month. We're going to have a guest speaker. Different guest speakers that we know come in and do a talk each month as well. There'll be all sorts of things like recommended reading and things like that. But it's, like I say, it's an opportunity to go deeper with God. Who wants to go deeper with God? Yeah, okay, right, you're all on A61 then. Take those names. I saw that hand. So we know that Route 61 is, if you do Route 61, you should be happier. Is that true? If you do at the end, I mean. So if you do Route 61, you should be more healed and you should be happier. So if Route 61 is successful, that should be happening. If A61 is successful, the church should be growing. So, that's how we kind of want to measure. We've put a lot of prayer into this A61. We've put a lot of work into how this is going to operate as a, as this particular course? Because like Martin said, we're changing things and adapting things all the time. We're not saying, yeah, we've sorted it, we've got everything right. We're changing things constantly. So we put a lot of prayer and time and effort into getting A61 right. And I feel particularly it's getting A61 right for you people that are on it, okay? Because you're not like, it's not a sausage factory. You don't all look the same. So you all look good, but you don't all look the same. But it's hearing off the Holy Spirit for you people that are going to be doing A61. It's because you'll have a particular group dynamic and particular individual needs. And we need to make sure that we meet those, and we can't do that by putting on a course that's a good idea. We do it by hearing the Holy Spirit for the course throughout. And I'm really excited about it, so, you know, you should be too. So if you've done Route 61, you're on A61, unless you tell us otherwise. No, that's not true. But I just encourage you to sign up. See Marion and put your name down. If you're not sure about doing it, you're not sure what it is and you want to hear a bit more about it, come and see me and we'll have a bit of a chat about it. But it starts on Tuesday the 6th of January, so it's quite an early start. You might be thinking, oh, a year, what a commitment. But don't forget, you do 4 weeks and then it's 4 weeks off. And then 4 weeks and 4 weeks off. It doesn't feel heavy. It doesn't feel like a big commitment. It's 4 weeks and then you're off for 4 weeks throughout the year. And I think there's a couple of funny months where you might even get 5 weeks if you behave yourselves. Okay, is that all right? Any questions? What name? Tuesdays. Okie doke.
It's just a bit of an update really on kids' work because... We're generally out the back, so you don't really see what we get up to. And then just a little bit of what we're going to be doing over the next few weeks and then into next year. So the kids' work sort of started off this year with around about 20-odd children coming. And then we lost about 5 or 6 going into youth. And since September, we've gone up in numbers again to around about 30, which is a great number. And moved location from Hollywood Bowl into the cinema, which has been an interesting move because it's just the layout of the room just gives us different challenges to kind of do creative things with the kids in a sitting environment all the time. But anyway, so the kids were getting a really hungry, which is great. We did a sample program sort of in the summer with some of the children when they were leaving kids' work. To go into youth, kind of a bit of leaving kids, how are you going to cope in youth, how are you going to cope in secondary school, but also trying to introduce some heart modules from Route 61 to see how they took that on board, really. And it was a powerful course. Just personally, some of the things that Stephanie got out of that course, I know, was just really incredible, and how she'd learned about forgiveness and the impact of that on her life and things like that. And I know from talking to other parents and children, what God had done in their lives as well. So that is kind of one thing that we're really going to focus on into next year. When we take them out, the older ones again, before they go into secondary school, we'll run a more detailed sort of proper kid 61, if you want to call it that, because that was really quite powerful. So that's something you can pray into really for us for next year. And also one of the big things we want to do with the kids is creative ministry. You know, they have they're like sponges. They just, when you explain to them about how God works, how he wants to talk to them, they're just like, yeah. They just want to do it. They want to be in it. And a great way for them to express that is creatively, really. So key areas that we've held back on, really, growing in, is sort of drama, their own worship stuff, creating their own worship team, which I think will be hilarious and stressful but funny and great. But also so sort of puppet ministry, and kind of anything creative really, dance, just things like expressing themselves freely. So that's really key for us to kind of have the backspace where they can freely kind of praise and worship God in a creative way. So we're trialing out their creativity over Christmas, where they're going to produce, they've been working really hard on a drama which has got singing in it, and it's got them acting as well, and bless them. I've learnt the lines really well on the acting side, but not quite there on the singing, so which is going to be entertaining for everyone. And so on the Sunday before Christmas, is that the 21st? Yeah. in the Sunday morning service, the kids are going to present their presentation of it's called Miracle Child. Basically, the story is a kid that wants everything for Christmas, but then realizes that's not important, and it's small things, and actually the story of Jesus is important. So if you want to come and have a laugh, that's the morning to come. Support the kids and tell them how awesome they are. So that's one area where we're trying to sort of create them and get them expand and express themselves as well. So into next year, we'll be pushing that a bit more. But my heart is for them to worship freely, sort of understand and be expressing themselves creatively. And to do that, they need to be in a space that's theirs, where they can set their own stuff up and do that. So the back room is a big thing, and we can keep praying into that. But I think what God's been doing as well with the team, the people that are in the team, is bringing in now people that have a heart to do it, which is awesome. There's more and more people that have a heart. We have awesome servers, and we always need servers. Everyone needs servers. But there's some people coming in now that really, really feel that God's put that on their heart and want to work in those areas. So we're trying to create teams of people where they come together, they pray together, they plan the session together, and they work as a team. So it's not down to one person trying to deliver something each week. It's a team of people. And God works in teams, doesn't he, you know? So that's another positive, so we can pray into that. But if any of you feel that you want to serve in the children's ministry, we will always take new helpers. No, I'm joking, Stuart. So next year we're going to be looking at sort of Jesus parables and things like that, and stories Jesus told and why he used them and how we can apply them to our own lives. But then also we want to be looking at, talking about taking the older ones just for one day or one night away, which is going to be an interesting concept. Or if it was down to Shez, we'd take the whole lot of them away, but that freaks me out a bit. So there's things going on. They're like, they're so open to the Holy Spirit. You know, when you're talking and then you're praying about stuff, they have a hunger and an eagerness. They want to pray. You don't have to really push them into doing anything. They want to do it, which is awesome. So we've gone on a journey of them getting to that point, and the new ones that are coming in, they're quickly getting it as well, which is really incredible. There's one little guy who, when he first started, just wouldn't engage at all. Quite a challenge, I think I'll say he was. But now, you know, when he talks about himself, he'll tell me that he's a mighty man of valor. That's what he calls himself, and he tells his parents that don't come to church that he's a mighty man of valor. And which is, I think, is pretty incredible, you know. And that was by him learning one memory verse, and he just quotes it all the time. And, you know, and it's just little seed things like that where God's taking them and putting it in the heart. And like my heart has always been that whatever we get, whatever we know, whatever we learn, wherever we're at spiritually, we pass that on straight away so that they will always excel where we are. So if that's the level I get to, I want my kids to start on that level and go like way above me. But when I say my kids, I mean everyone's kids, if that makes sense.
Brilliant. Thank you, Carolyn. So shall I just do the back room now, since we're just talking about the back room there? Just tell you where we're up to with that. You know, and the creche, just some practical things around the church. I'll do the creche first. The creche, we're going to try and get the creche sorted out so it looks nicer. Looks like a little back room, boiler room of a pub, doesn't it? Oh, because it was. And we want to try and get it sorted. So Terry and Stacey working together with Lowry and Sam and others and Cal to get it sorted. So they've put some soundproofing up in there, a bit more soundproofing, extra stuff that we had here. So it looks nice and black for the little babies. That was a joke. but they're going to put it up high, and they're going to put like little parachute things coming down. So it looks like a little tent or a parachute cuteness thing. Ah. And have little more soft things in there for the kiddies. Make it nice as we can. And we'll try, as we get money. Obviously, we don't save money here. We just spend it. Hope you know that. That's our policy. We don't want to keep treasure on earth. We want to spend it to preach the gospel and make everything better and better and better. So as we get money, we just spend it. So we want to get... If anyone's got a good camera at home and you're not using it anymore, we want to be able to get the creche camera thing sorted out so the mothers feeding the babies can actually see the preach and hear it. It's sort of connected, but it's not working properly because the camera or some techie thing. But anyway, if you're interested in helping with that, see Christian at the back, who's the head of tech, whatever that means. Anyway, also, so the back room, basically, keep praying, please, but nothing's moving exactly yet. We had those days of prayer and fasting, didn't we? Let me tell you what a few things have happened. Some spiritual things has happened. One thing is, during those days of prayer and fasting, I felt that we needed to repent a bit as the leaders, which we've done, over some of the way we handled the back room, because one of the things we did, which wasn't exactly righteous, depending on which way you look at it, was we stole £100,000. No, that was a joke, and Harry was getting worried. One thing that we did was we agreed to put all the heating in at the same time before we got that room. So it wasn't our room. We were allowed to go in it and sort of use it for storage and things. But we actually put the heating in sort of gung-ho faith that we were going to get it, which, you know, we do have faith that we're going to get it. But sometimes it can be a bit gung-ho. Because obviously something's resisting us, isn't it? So it might be the devil, but it could be God. Sometimes God resists you a bit and says, no, you're going to do it my way, my time, Charlie. He sometimes calls me Charlie, gets my name confused sometimes. Only when I'm in trouble with him. And so we've been doing, we did some significant repenting over that and said, well, Lord, look, we're sorry if we went ahead there. It would have been massively complicated and expensive for us to do half the heating and then get them back in to do it. So there was practical reasons to do that. And it looked at that point as though we had it. I mean, we had agreements before the, you know, agreements on email. We had the on email. If we had it in print, we could have signed it. It would have been done. But the landlord changed hands at that point and la-di-da-di-da. Anyway, here we are. We're still waiting for it. So another little thing that I felt the Holy Spirit say during the prayer and fasting was about paying off the guys who've done the heating. We'd paid them in chunks, but there was a chunk that we hadn't paid, 11 grand, that we kept because they hadn't totally finished what they said they were going to do. So they still needed to come back, fully commission the unit, make sure it was working for us and explain it. They hadn't done that, but we'd also kept 11 grand of their money, well, of our money till we give them it, and said to them, we want you to do this or we're not giving you the rest. They are not coming or turning up or helping to do that. In the prayer and fasting, one morning I woke up and I just felt as though, pay them. Just pay them. You know, don't hold back wages from a worker. I think it's somewhere in the Bible, isn't it? Somewhere. And I thought, so I talked to Ian and Carolyn. They were sort of in the process with these guys. And they said, well, they're coming to do the commissioning thing and all that. I said, well, that's okay. Well, do you know what? I think we should pay them anyway. Just pay them. Whether they come or don't, God will look after us, but just pay them, because I think the Holy Spirit's saying pay them. So that is happening this week. We're paying them the 11 grand. So is that interesting? So maybe that could be a little spiritual blockage that God's saying, just pay them, and then I'll open the door. So maybe that's that. So, So that's where we're up to. Hopefully, when we pay them, it'll just open every door spiritually, and the landlord will get saved and start a new church, but not in the back room, hopefully. Anyway, so keep praying, guys. Let's see what happens. You know, these things are complicated, but we're trying to do what we're trying to do, trying to get in there, trying to do it right, and trying to not be fools and all the rest, but not easy. By the way, what we share in this room is for your ears. You know that, don't you? It's our business. It's not everyone's. Please, thanks. So we'll share with you everything if you can keep your mouth shut. So, anything else? What else is coming up there? If you've got any questions, write them down and we'll answer them at the end. Route 61 conference, June. Now, this is a bit of a change from what I last said at the M61 meeting a few months ago. Should I bother telling you what I said at the M61 months ago? I'll just tell you the change. Okay, this is what we're going to do now because we feel God said this. I need to tell you, it won't make sense. We were going to do a conference. We are going to do a conference here in our building on Teesside Park in June. To do that conference, we need that back room or a tent out there or the coffee shop or all of them. So we're believing and moving towards that. We want to do a conference where we invite all our friends from abroad and people from the UK, and we want to bless them. My thought, probably thinking too much of you, was, do you know what? Our lot get Route 61 till they must be sick of it, and they do it abroad and everything else. Let's just do a revival conference and just get loads of speakers in. We'll get Rain and we'll get Duncan and we'll get our friend from Bulgaria and we'll try and get Reinhard Bonnke's son-in-law, who we absolutely love and have a bit of favour with, Brent Regis, who's phenomenal. And if we can get those four guys, we'll hire a tent. We'll try and get permission to get a tent on that car park. There's a bit that's sectioned off where cars can't come. We'll get a 1,000-seater tent on there and do it. That was my thought and vision. It has changed a little bit by the Lord. Sorry, that sounded good, didn't it? You were coming, weren't you? And you were going to bring your mum. Right. It has changed a little bit because at the end of the day, we do as we're told, not just what we like. That's what I liked because I thought it sounds fresh and it'll be good for us a lot. And I'm not saying this to you lightly. I'm saying it to you because the Holy Spirit has said to us, we're going to do something a little bit different. We are going to try and get a couple of visiting speakers, Duncan and Rain. But we are going to run Route 61. And God said that very clearly to us. We need to run Route 61 for the UK and open it up to the UK and our international friends as well. But during the day, we, and when I say we, I mean from everyone on the back row to the front again, if you're up for it. Can you be up for it again after Estonia? We want to run Route 61 because we think that's what God's saying to give to people in that context of a conference for a week. So that's what we're going to do. So is that a little bit of a change? And I think it'll probably be smaller. You have to book in for Route 61. It's 6 days to do Route 61. It's a week altogether if you stick it, you know, a Sunday on the end. It's a long time. So instead of hiring a 1,000-seater tent and getting a load of big names in, we think we should do most of it. But we're going to try and get Duncan to do the Father Heart stuff. And we're going to try and get Rain to do some of the freedom bits and the prayer stuff. If he can't, we're going to try and get Rain to come to do a revival weekend for us anyway. He's already been asked. We're pursuing that in Estonia. Rain is the pastor who saw a huge revival in Tallinn in the 1980s. The last great revival in Europe. I mean, thousands and thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of people were saved and healed. We didn't know about it because of the Iron Curtain, but you can read the book. We encourage everyone to read the book. Estonia is a big connection for us, so we'd like you to read the book and get to know Rain if you want. We know him. He's prayed for us and been God encounters and all that. So if you're wondering who Rain is, that's Rain from Tallinn. Duncan, most of you know Duncan and Kate Smith from Toronto, Catch the Fire Ministries. Well, not from Toronto, from Raleigh in the USA. And they've been and visited us. You probably know them. You know what they stand for and what they're up to. Into and all that. So we think that would be good and fresh, but some of it is going to be us doing it because we feel God is telling us to do it. So is that okay? So we're still going to do a conference. It'll still be awesome. God will be here, but it might be some of us still speaking. Sorry. God bless you. You're so good. Right, what else? Estonia feedback and future. Do you want a little bit of Estonia feedback? You hardly get any, do you? We're trying to put some on the website. I'm talking about the feedback from the conference, the lives that were changed, the people that were there. There's a major article going in the on the website any minute that we've translated in the National Baptist magazine about our week, and it's entitled "The Week That Changed Many Lives," and it tells you someone's testimony. That's absolutely phenomenal. But some of the pastors in my small group wrote some letters from their experience, and he's one of them that Lowry's going to read it in Estonian and I'll just translate it straight into English.
It's actually a she, and it's my mum, and she's a pastor's wife, so she asked me to, I've been carrying this letter with me for 3 months to read it out on Sunday. So since after the conference, she gave me the letter and said, you know, you need to share this with the church, because she was absolutely blown away what was happening there. And she's been a, you know, pastored beside my father for 18 or 20 years. So this is what she wrote. I was deeply touched when I saw you serving with your whole family. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. It's Acts 2:39. Thank you for coming to Estonia with your whole family. Thank you for taking a tiring trip to show Estonians that the gospel is for everyone, children, youth, and adults. Thank you, men, for taking your wives and children with you. Thank you, women, for coming with your husbands. You did it because you love Jesus. Thank you. Should I read the article? No, it's too long. Okay. And the article, it's also written by a woman. A week that changes lives. How to grow closer to God. One of the opportunities was a week-long Route 61 conference in Pärnu, Estonia, which blessed people from head to toe. Around 70 members of Amazing Grace Church, some of whom are Estonian, but most of whom are British, came to Pärnu to serve and support the delivery of the conference. Martin, the senior pastor, wasn't the only one preaching and teaching. He had a great team with him. In the mornings we had sessions about Holy Spirit, gospel, heart healing, freedom, and grace, all of which included opportunities for small group fellowship. The evenings were devoted to preaching the gospel with signs and wonders following, including many physical healings. Everyone was encouraged to be an active participant rather than a passive listener. We were able to participate in activations, including taking our sins to the cross, confessing them to someone, surrendering our bodies to God, and much more. God sees our desires. My biggest desire is to meet God physically, because that's the way I experience his love the most. On the first day, we learned that the Holy Spirit is for everyone. On the sea, the wind doesn't blow just for one boat, but for every boat that has put up its sails. In the same way, the Holy Spirit wants a personal relationship with each of us, it was said by Martin Rudick. You just can't be in the presence of God without being changed, Andy Bray. We were given a time to rest in the presence of God and listen in the silence to exactly what he wants to say to us. I felt the Holy Spirit touch my right shoulder, and then God gave me the longest revelation of my life about his presence. More prayers than ever before. Suddenly, I was a part of an amazing small group. Our group leader was Kina Henderson, and everyone was open to sharing their thoughts and had the opportunity to pray for one another. I've never had that much prayer with someone. That was a blessing. We got pictures and words during the prayer time and shared them. God gave me a meaningful picture through Kina, where I was walking through an avenue of trees, which confirmed previous prophecies and gave me a clear direction. As an artist, I really appreciate that. Called to serve. Living in Estonia as a woman sometimes feels like having a disability. Being a young female preacher in a Baptist church is not considered ordinary. Being there and seeing women preach, serve, and lead made me feel that women are also worthy to be called by God. I had it confirmed many times by God that I am also called by him. It was very encouraging. I was absolutely amazed at how the whole church was willing to serve and all at 100%. My desire is that our church would be as willing to serve. Our God is 100%. Each night someone got saved, and altogether it was around 30 people! Many experienced deliverance and freedom. People also got healed, and this was even out in the streets. There was a man in a wheelchair that stood up for the first time because a couple of young people were willing to pray for him until he got totally healed. Isn't that just amazing? The fire tunnel. This was something unique and special. We formed a circular-shaped prayer tunnel through which people started to walk one by one, receiving prayers from others. I was under the rain of blessings. So many powerful prayers for me. Thank you, God, for those. What you get is going to change your life and even your dreams at night. By the end of the sixth night, the conference moved to my dreams. I was dreaming in the dream. I was dreaming, and in the dream, it still felt like I was in the front, waiting to receive everything that God has for me. Then I felt a woman's hand on my shoulder, and she started to pray for me. She gave me a word from God, and I'm waiting for this to come through. I know that the Route 61 conference affected me deeply inside. I believe that each one of us who experienced it is excited about what will happen next, and we are all looking for opportunities to share this with others.
Big round of applause for Jesus! Hallelujah, Lord! Aren't you awesome? Thank you, Lord! Oh, wasn't it worth it? Yeah, it was awesome. What a beautiful commendation from people. Don't let the devil lie to you, beloveds. It's all worth it. What else should we... Estonia, let me just finish in Estonia. Avril and Tony are still there, in and out. Tony's coming back for Christmas. Is Avril coming back for Christmas? Ah, they're coming back for Christmas. That's nice. And there's a free flow there of life. And let's see what happens. Allery and Catherine have been with us for Route 61. They're going back for Christmas, and they may come back and do A61, which will be absolutely phenomenal and fantastic. There's this bridge between Estonia and us. Allery said to me a couple of months ago, what is your vision and plan for Estonia? And I said, I'm sorry, brother, I don't have one. I just do what I'm told. And that is the way I operate. It's not being clever. That is the way we lead the church. We pray. God tells us to do something, and with all our heart, we try and obey it and do it. We don't make stuff up beyond that. What's the next step for Estonia? Honestly, I don't know. I'm not sure. There's life flow there. There's stuff happening. Nothing clear. I'm not sure. But, you know, we've got all our beautiful brothers and sisters here. Maybe God will use them to start a mega church over there one day. I don't know. We'll have to hear God, won't we? Not sure what the next step is, but let's keep praying. When we're here together, we'll do it. But for now, it's fantastic to have Valerie and Catherine here. Beautiful, humble hearts. Been a pastor and leader for years and years and years. To come and do Route 61 is a big deal, you know, like Roy. God's given us some phenomenal people, and among them are some people who've been pastors and leaders for years, you know, and it's just a privilege to have them. It's exciting. See what God's going to do. All the richness. It's like Tom Richter's. Tom Richter's is 108 years old. And he's still alive. Still speaks American. And he's just amazing. Him and Laura. That's what you need. You need a wife 20 years younger than you. Anyway. That's the Philippines. Honestly, don't know. But we were totally connected to the Philippines. And the journey that got... the Philippines. The Estonia. And the journey God's got us on with there is just parcel of... who we're about. So, you know, watch this space and let's see what happens, and you can hear the Holy Spirit too. If you've got anything to share, share it. We'll listen to you, you know. We don't listen to everyone, but we'll listen to you because you're the core of the church. Band of Sisters Philippines. We'll forget Band of Brothers for now because it's probably going to be October. Band of Sisters Philippines. Margaret sends her apologies. Sorry, on Matthias is poorly. She would have loved to have been here and do this. She says sorry to everyone. And I've told her we'll forgive her because we've done it at 61. Stop wasting time, Riddick. Sorry. Band of Sisters is going to be in May. And these are the dates. Okay, there'll be around. One more bit of paper. The one that matters. It's got the dimensions for a carpet in our back room and the date for... There it is. So it's going to be around these dates. It's the half-term dates. So it's May the 28th to the 1st of June. It'll be around there. It'll be around 10 days. It has to be 10 days because it's so far away to get there. It takes 2 days to get there, 2 days to get back. So it's... Band of Sisters, it's open to any of you who've got faith to do it. Siku, when are you getting married? What's the date? 22nd. So is that good or bad? Oh, did anyone know that? Siku's getting married, come on, hallelujah. We never thought this would happen for you, never. No, I'm only kidding. No, it's awesome. Ricky's a really, really blessed guy. Ricky's doing Route 61, isn't he? Yes. The dates are the 28th of May to the 1st of June, around those days. So Margaret will confirm with you. That's half term, yeah? Huh? Yeah, they're the dates. And half term's in the middle of that, those dates, isn't it? Okay, Margaret is to total blame. Is that English? Margaret's to blame for everything. Anyway, forget those dates, total irrelevance. We'll send you an email. Make sure you're on the emails. Talk to Stephen. Yeah, we're going on a bus. Band of Sisters, the plan is to do this. And this is new, this is fresh, so you won't expect to do anything like this. During the day, you'll be running Route 61, a Route 61 conference for women during the day. There'll be lots of preaching, teaching, and small group leading to do. You'll be well stretched because none of the guys will be there, so it'll be very good for you. You'll come back, and I'm sure that'll be the spark of revival when all you ladies come back totally on fire from this. Well, I'm not sure, I'm just saying that, but anyway, some of you looking, so you believe me. Anyway, but it could be awesome, and you're welcome. What am I saying? Anyway, Route 61 during the day. On the nights, there'll be gospel, preaching, healing, and so on and so forth in a basketball arena. And it's over to you, ladies, as well. It'll be a ladies' conference. But I think that the nights might be open to anyone, might be open to guys as well. But you'll have some people from the church to help you know all that. Margaret can fill you in on more of the details. She's talking to Ruth and things. But it's open to you. So look, May... Whenever that half term is, it's that one, the half term week, okay? Pray about it. It's very expensive, so pray about it. You're talking about £400-£500 minimum flight. Won't cost much beyond the flight, but it will cost that. And the church will try and help with transport and things there. And then there'll be some accommodation, which isn't expensive there. And it's good. We've checked it out for you. It's a really nice place to stay. Gorgeous swimming pool. The pool, when you look at the pool, it goes out, looks like it goes out to sea and all that. It's nice food, nice place to stay. So you'll have a phenomenal time if you've got faith for it, could do it, want to do it, think it's God. These things are to do with God. They're not to do with money. So don't let money stop you. If you hear God on something, God will provide you the money. So pray about it. And it'd be fantastic for any of you could do that. I know it's a massive bite off for people with children and things. But it is half term. So maybe your husbands and things could look after the kids, whatever. Anyway. Does that answer that one? Next. Questions. Oh, one more thing. Route 61. Andy, do you want to quick Route 61?
Cool. This won't take long. Route 61 in January. At the moment, we've got 22 women signed up and only 6 men. So we've asked a few people to be small group leaders already, but we could do with another few ladies. So if you're wanting to be a small group leader and you're a female, then can you please see myself or Esther? And we'll try and help you out with that. Also, we're looking for some help with the tech and the sound. So if you wanted to do that, then please come and see myself as well. That'd be awesome. It's starting on the 15th of January. It's going to be run on Thursdays again, obviously. And if you are a small group leader, you know already that you're going to be leading a small group, or if you'd like to, there's a small group leaders training night, which you may or may not want to take a note of, which is going to be Monday the 5th of January at 7:30. On the evening. So if you're a small group leader, or you're going to be a small group leader, you'd like to be, Monday the 5th of January for the training night for that. That's pretty much it for Route 61, unless there's any questions.
Just two quick things. First is stewarding and welcome here. We've recently changed the way we do it, and we need more people, really, to be up for serving on the welcome and stewarding team, to do things like, you know, welcoming people, making them feel at home, setting up communion, that sort of thing is what we do. So if you're interested in joining the Welcome and Stewarding team, please see me. The other thing is that we've started a student outreach at Teesside Uni initially, and it's Andy Bashforth, Keena and Hannah Dodsworth and myself are the team at the minute, and Lauren Edwards is joining the team, and Sam's part of the team as well, Sam Ruddock, and also Charlotte Tutt, who's just finished Route 61 as well. So we're starting to do something out there at the uni, which is a really godless place, I know, because I work there. We've got a little bit of holy ground in our office with me and Stuart, but other than that, it's really a dead place as far as God is concerned, and we want to really impact it. So as you've seen probably over the last few weeks, we're advertising an Alpha course, which we're going to do in the Students' Union. Hannah Dodsworth is on the committee of the Christian Union in the Students' Union, so she's managed to get us rooms in there to use, and even managed to get them to provide the food for us. We have to pay them a little, but it is only a little, and so we'd really appreciate it if you could pray about that for us, that we can really break through in there. We've got a Facebook page that we'd encourage you to like. What's it called again, bro? Is it there? Oh, yeah. Amazing students. Sorry. Amazing students. Okay, so if you would go on there and like it, I think that has impact. I don't know how it works, really, but I'm told it has real impact if you do that. Okay. Yeah, keep sharing it for us. That would be great. The other thing that we're doing as well is we're having Band of Brothers and Band of Sisters for students, and Keena's running a band of sisters and Andy's running a band of brothers for students, to sort of gather students together and pray for them. And if you don't know what Band of Brothers and Sisters is, that's it. It's to grow spiritually and pray and encourage each other. So we want to do that for students and connect with them. And another quick thing, we had a visit from Fusion, who are a group that support any student mission and ministry. And Andy's sort of dealt with them and dealt with all of this. But one of the things they do is they connect students who are just about to go to university. They connect them to a church. And so we've got our church signed up for that. So hopefully we'll be seeing more students here. We've currently got around maybe a handful or maybe 6 students. But we want more. And the final thing is there's another campus. You know, there's a different university campus just over the river there, Queen's Campus. It's a campus of Durham University. And they've got a Christian Union that's a little more progressive, maybe you might say, than the Teesside University one. And they're very open to us doing things there. So we might get an opportunity. It's in an early stage at the minute to do an Alpha there and to do Band of Brothers and Sisters there and that kind of thing. So if you could pray about all of that would be awesome. Thank you.
Brilliant. Well done. Two quickies. One is John Archer. We've got about 80 tickets left for John Archer. So have we sold all the ones that you guys want? If you want some, you can get them tonight. Or if you want to take some now, and if you think you can sell some and hand some out to friends and so on, then you can. As long as we just know how many you've taken. It should be all right, as long as you just... We can empty this box, basically, can't we? We've got those. And then we've got to just make sure we don't sell more than we've actually got seats for. We can fit about 200 people in here. 225, I think. Easy. 220 on these seats, comfortably, I think. Or 400 uncomfortably. But anyway, there's some John Archer things there, if you want to. And try and pray about who you can invite. Obviously, we want to invite friends. It's a connecting to the Alpha, obviously. The other thing is just on the... There's a potential development of the pastoral side of things with Tom and Laura. We're meeting Tom and Laura to talk to them. As they send their apologies, LL doing more training this right now. There's potential for a sort of pastoral team of people who want to be involved in counselling, praying for people, listening to people, loving people, helping people. Obviously, our first port of call in terms of getting sorted is Route 61. That's what we do with people. That's how we do it with people. So if you've... But you need to know that's available to you. So if you finish Route 61 and you feel like issues are coming up, and in one sense, I hope they are, if you're soaking and walking with Jesus and listening to God, the process of being healed in your heart takes forever. So as stuff comes up, there's different things you can do with that. One is, obviously, just go to God and be sorted with God yourself. Let God speak to you, repent, forgive, break judgments, do what you know you need to do. The other is, you can do Route 61 again. And, you know, I kid you not when I talk about doing it again. I mean, the people who have really changed and have been touched by God have done it a few times, 2-3 times. That's a real possibility for you, especially if you feel like there's some issues here I haven't overcome. I've definitely improved here, but there's this and this. I want to go and face this again. I'm not sure. Every Route 61 is totally different. It is. That's a possibility. But beyond that, there is Tom and Laura, Ian and Carolyn, and other people who you can go to for one-to-one inner healing and counselling if you feel there's issues coming up or you like that kind of ministry. There is, if you feel you need that, and there's more people going to join them, and there's more opportunities for you to join them in that. But we'll give you more details about that as we go along. But there'll be a pastoral team. And Tom and Laura are probably going to do some training as well in that, training some of the LL stuff that they've been taught and some of the other stuff. Someone's excited about LL. Hallelujah. And so anyway, and you can ask questions about this now. Questions? Any questions on anything? Oh, did I say everything about you? John, Route 60, John Archer. Everyone knows Darren's running the Facebook page for us. If you want to comment into that or watch it and share it, it's really helpful in terms of advertising stuff in the church. He's doing a fantastic job. It's really interesting all of a sudden, as soon as you took Paul off it. Paul. Who's Paul? Boy, he can waffle. And he was doing huge sermons on there and asking us to share them. He must be joking. So Paul's going to do something much more bloggy, which is his style on the website. And Darren's much better at short little punchy da-da-da-da-da-da's. Any questions on anything? On anything? Anything we shared or anything else? Anything? Yeah. Yeah. English Route 61 conference, there'll be gospel nights. And they'll try and get the visiting speakers to do them. The other thought was maybe get local evangelists to come and do that as well. So it's fresh. Maybe get Graham and Pete Conroy and Tony Grange and people. Or we might get the odd evangelist in, like Gary Gibbs, national evangelist in, something like that. But we need to preach the gospel, definitely. Make it a gospel reaping thing. When Alpha's finished, we'll be starting Sunday nights again, preaching the gospel. We want to revamp and change things and make it better all the time, but we're not going to stop preaching the gospel, definitely. Preaching the gospel is totally what we're about in healing the sick. And while we're doing Alpha, it is our intention to have more physical healing on a Sunday morning. We don't want to let the supernatural go. Several people healed on Sunday night, I heard, quite dramatically and powerfully. Ian's awesome for that, you know, going for it and not letting things go. And it's very important. The signs and wonders and healing is part of the kingdom of who Jesus is. It goes together with preaching the gospel. So we'll be doing altar calls on a Sunday morning a little bit more, like I did last week when I preached, and a couple of people saved. One woman was saved. Some of you probably know this story already. One woman came to the baptism services for the first time ever. She'll tell you a story any minute, but it looks like she's 100% healed of cancer. She came with quite significant cancer in her pancreas and a lung. Stuart and Marion prayed for her. She came back the next Sunday morning telling us she'd been at the doctor. Doctors were amazed. They think they might have misdiagnosed it for gallstones. That Sunday morning when she came, she was saved. Put a hand up, got a pack. This is who we are. So we want it to keep going and flowing and flowing. Salvations are still happening. A little bit of feedback on Russell. I said we'd go till 9:30, so I've got 2 minutes. A little bit of feedback on Russell. As you know, Russell's been struggling with cancer. He'd been really quite poorly lately. So I went up to visit him at his home. He lives an hour away, miles away. I can't believe he ever makes it to church. But anyway, and it was, do you know what? God's using it. It's amazing. His wife is an unbeliever. Beautiful woman. I've never met her. I've known Russell for 15 years quite well. And I've met his kids and that. And some of his kids came to church for the first time the other Sunday night and absolutely loved it and have signed up for Alpha. So he's buzzing about that. His kids have signed up for Alpha, and one of his work colleagues, a lady from his work who's also struggling with cancer, she signed up for Alpha, non-Christian. And Russell said, I really want my family to come to the Lord. We've been praying about it. And just a little bit of good news is his mum, he moved his mum up to live near them. He said, I want my mum to come to the Lord. And I remembered your testimony, Gloria, how you read that journey into life, wasn't it? And he said, I've given why Jesus, and it doesn't do anything. And I thought, and it was the Holy Spirit, you know. I felt, ding, 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 ding. That's the Holy Spirit. Ding, no. And I said, try journey into life. And he did, and she's saved as the day's long. He gave her this book. She read it once. She said the prayer. He said, have you read that book, Mother? She said, yes, I've read it, and I've said the prayer. I've given my life to Jesus, and I need to tell you, because it told me to tell you in the book. And I went up and met her, and she's absolutely delightful. And so he's absolutely buzzing. And then I had a really positive, time with his wife, who's lovely, incredibly private, shy person. Never been to church in those 15 years. Nothing to do with it. So it's amazing, really. She was very warm with me. Said, next time you come and visit him, stay for lunch and all this. And I was laughing with her and that. So would you keep praying for that? That all his family gets saved and he gets healed. That would be lovely. If he doesn't get healed, he's saved. You know what I mean? He's absolutely on fire, full of love for Jesus and at peace. Totally ready to go to heaven. I said, but we're not ready for you to go to heaven quite. So are you okay if we keep praying for your healing? Oh yeah, well, you keep praying for my healing, but I'm just so excited about Jesus. Well, that's awesome. But we're going to keep praying for healing until the day you die. And he said, is it too early to talk about funeral? I said, yes, it is. But it might be a possibility that he goes to the Lord. But if he does, he wants his whole family saved because he wants to be with them forever. So would you please pray for his wife? She's called Julie. Absolutely lovely. I'm going to visit them again Friday. Said I'd go every other Friday because just so it's not over the top, you know. But and hopefully, he's getting a little bit better with some of the stuff that's been going on. So he'll probably be here on Sunday. Pray for him every time you see him. Lay hands on him, pray for him feeling. Any questions on anything? Cool. I believe you. Margaret won't believe you. I've got the dates wrong. Shall we stand? Thank you so much for giving us your time again and being part of everything. We absolutely love you. And I really mean that. It's not just words. We pray for you. We think of you. We love you. Please pray for us. Please pray for leaders. You know, they do get attacked and battered. Ian and Karen are under the cosh a bit. Pray for them. Should we just lift up our hands to the Lord? Father God, we thank you that you're our heavenly dad. We thank you that to be part of your family is such a privilege. We thank you for all the other beautiful expressions of your family that are everywhere in Tees Valley and around the world. Thank you that we're only one little part of it. But we thank you for the part you've called us to play. And we want to play our part. We want to take our place. We want to make ourselves available to you, God, to be people of God, and to walk with you. Lord, help us hear you, follow you. Help us turn away from our sins and seek your face. that you would heal our land and revive Christianity in our day. We thank you, God, that you're helping us to prepare for the greatest move of the Holy Spirit that history's ever seen. God, help us be ready. Help us catch every smaller wave of growth that you send us. Speak to us, Lord, about the Philippines, about Band of Sisters, Band of Brothers. Bless the Band of Sisters groups, Band of Brothers groups. Let them be an amazing source of encouragement and healing, and let people move in spiritual gifts and hear your voice. Thank you for all the awesome preachers and teachers that you've given us, and that all the other preachers and teachers that you're raising up amongst us. Lord, we pray that you would use every one of us for your glory. We pray that we take something supernatural from this meeting tonight, faith and healing and encouragement. Lord, bless our church financially. Bless every bank account represented in this room in the name of Jesus. We pray for a blessed Christmas for every family here. We ask you, God, to let there be peace and love and generous giving and open tables and open homes this Christmas. Let people be saved. Let people be encouraged. Let there be no lonely person among us. God, help us reach out to each other, love each other, share with each other our lives. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Lord, help us know who we should be best friends with. Help us know where we should connect. Put us with the right people. Connect us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, help us to be your people. Thank you, Lord. We pray that you bless this conference next year. We know that nothing we do means anything without your touch of blessing and success. We ask you to give us visiting speakers that you want us to have. We ask you to visit us with power. We thank you for all that you're doing in Estonia. We thank you for Avril and Tony being so brave to go out there and dare live there a bit. We thank you for Alarie and Catherine being so brave to come and live here, let go of things there. God bless them. Show them if you want them here next year, Lord. And we just offer you all of these things and more. We pray about the back room. Again, we ask you just to graciously bless us, Father, for our children's sake. Give us property. Give us that cafe. And give us, in the end, upstairs and this whole block. Give us that nightclub for the youth. We pray for 10,000 young people to fill that nightclub every week, giving you glory and rocking the place for Jesus Christ. We ask you, God, that you grow us beyond anything we could ask or imagine. Help us be holy, be humble. Help us stay with our feet on the ground, our knees on the ground, with our eyes in heaven. Thank you, Jesus, that like Corrie ten Boom said, if you look at the world around you, you'll be distressed. If you look inside all the time, you'll be depressed. But if you look at Jesus, you'll be at rest. Lord, we look at you, Jesus. We lift our eyes to you. Help us fix our eyes on you, Jesus. Free us from selfishness. Help us love you, serve the world, preach the gospel. Amen. Amen. Give someone a big hug. Thank you for coming.